This is Srimad Bhagavatam, 3rd Canto, Chapter 26, Texts 25 and 26. Sahasra shirasam sakshad yam anantam prachakshate sankarshanakyam purusham bhutendriya manomayam. The threefold ahankar, the source of the gross elements, the senses, and the mind, is identical with them, because it is their cause. It is known by the name of Sankarshan, who is directly Lord Ananta with 1,000 heads. Kartritvam, Karanatvam, Cha, Karyatvam, Cheti, Lakshanam, Shanta, Hora, Vimuthatvam, Iti, Vasya, Ahankritehe, Kartritvam, Karanatvam, Cha,
Kartritvam, Karanatvam, Cha,
Karyatvam, Cheti Lakshanam,
Karyatvam, Cheti Lakshanam,
Shantakhora Vimuthatvam,
Shantakhora Vimuthatvam,
Iti Vasya, Ahankritehe,
Iti Vasya, Ahankritehe,
Kartritvam, Karanatvam, Cha,
Kartritvam, Karanatvam, Cha,
Karyatvam, Cheti Lakshanam,
Karyatvam,
Shantakhora Vimuthatvam,
Shantakhora Vimuthatvam,
Iti Vasya Ahankritehe,
Iti Vasya Ahankritehe,
Kartritvam,
Kartritvam,
being the doer,
being the
doer, Karanatvam,
Karanatvam,
being the instrument,
being the instrument,
Cha,
Cha,
and Karyatvam,
Karyatvam,
being the effect,
being the effect,
Cha,
Cha,
also.
Thus,
Lakshanam,
Lakshanam,
characteristic,
characteristic,
Shanta,
Shanta,
serene,
serene,
Khoda,
Khoda,
active,
active,
Vimuthatvam,
Vimuthatvam,
being dull,
being dull,
Iti,
Iti,
thus,
Va,
Va,
or,
Syat,
Syat,
may be,
may be,
Ahankritehe,
Ahankrite,
of the false ego.
This false ego
is characterized as the doer, as an instrument, and as an effect. It is further characterized as serene, active, or dull, according to how it is influenced by the modes of goodness, passion, and ignorance. Purport. Ahankar, or false ego, is transformed into the demigods, the controlling directors of material affairs. As an instrument, the false ego is represented as different senses and sense organs, and as the result of the combination of the demigods and the senses, material objects are produced. In the material world, we are producing so many things, and this is called advancement of civilization. But factually, the advancement of civilization is a manifestation of the false ego. By false ego, all material things are produced as objects of enjoyment. One great acharya, Narottam Das Thakur, has lamented that when one deviates from pure consciousness of Vasudev, or Krishna consciousness, one becomes entangled in material activities. The exact words he uses are Shatshanga Chari Koinu Ashate Vilas Te Karane Lagila Je Karma Vanta Pash. I have given up the pure state of consciousness because I wanted to enjoy in the temporary material manifestation. Therefore, I have been entangled in the network of actions and reactions. Sahasra shirasam sakshad yamanantam prachakshate sankarshanakyam purusham bhutendriya manomayam kartritvam karanatvam cha karyatvam cheti lakshanam shanta ghora vimutha tvam iti vasyad ahankrite. So now we're dealing with ahankar, which has three aspects in different ways. It's identified with sankarshan. The gross elements, the mind and the senses, are identified with the false ego, and the false ego is identified with sankarshan. That it's identified with sankarshan is not so hard to understand. Just like sometimes we refer to the king by the name of the kingdom. Oh, Denmark has come. In Shakespeare all the time, kings are, Denmark has come. So Denmark means the king of Denmark. So here, that sankarshan, the false ego is called sankarshan, means that this false ego is identified with sankarshan because it's a product of sankarshan. It emanates from sankarshan. Sankarshan means Krishna. Krishna expands as Balaram. Balaram expands as sankarshan. And then sankarshan, from sankarshan also Lord Shiva comes in the form of the glance of the Lord impregnating material nature. So, kartritvam karanam cha, karanatvam cha. False ego is characterized as the doer, as the instrument, and as the effect. Here, Srila Prabhupada appears to identify the doer with the demigods, and the instrument, karanam, means the senses. In the Bhagavad Gita also, karya, karma. What is that? Karya karanam kartritve. The karana means the senses. Vividaischa pratag. What is that elsewhere? Adhishtanam tatakarta karanam cha pratag vidha. Adhishtanam, yeah, the body, adhishtanam, the doer, the senses, different kinds of senses. Then, vividha cheshta,
the endeavor,
different kinds of endeavor, vividhascha pratak cheshta, and daiva chaiva tripuncham.
Daivas, the demigods, yeah.
Well, their daivas can be taken as destiny, or you
that
can.
Which comes from God, right?
Yeah, finally it's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Daiva means the demigods are finally Krishna. So karana means the senses, the instruments by which we get things done. They may be active senses, they may be knowledge-gathering senses. We get things done through the active ones and we find out what's going on, or try to find out what's going on through the knowledge-gathering senses. And then the effect are material objects. Different products of material nature are the effects of false. So all of these are effects of false ego. The demigods, the senses, the mind, the intelligence, and these gross products of sense enjoyment, they're all coming from different aspects of the false ego. Or in other words, the entire material existence is expanded from false ego. And here in the third canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, we get an account of how things are expanded, exfoliated from the false ego. From false ego and passion, this comes. False ego and goodness, this comes. False ego and ignorance, this comes. Intelligence comes from false ego and passion. Mind comes from false ego and goodness. Surprisingly, you'd think it would be the other way, but it's not. And then the objects of sense gratification are expanded from false ego and ignorance. So everything comes from false ego. False ego is the beginning point. First, false ego is expanded, otherwise there's no material world. Without false ego, there's no material world. If you're situated in real ego, aham brahmasmi, or I'm servant of Krishna, then there's no false ego. And then there's no material world. In the 11th canto, it's explained how the entire material creation is destroyed by going in the opposite direction. Everything's expanded from this to this to this to this, and then destruction means everything's packed up again. This goes into its previous cause, that goes into its previous cause, finally gets merged into false ego, and that gets merged into transcendence. If one is the yogis who are packing up their material business, they merge this into this, this into this, this into this, merge everything into false ego, and then merge that into transcendence, and then it's over. It's over. So Krishna consciousness means to merge the false ego into transcendence by turning it into real ego, or to merge our identity in transcendence by devotional service. The Maya bodies also have the idea of merging the ego into transcendence, but in their estimation, this means the final destruction of the ego. There is no ego, there's no identity anymore. But the Vaishnavas merge their ego into transcendence by placing it in conformity with the supreme transcendence. They engage their ego in the service of the supreme ego. The Lord is the supreme identity, the supreme personality of Godhead, and we're all the little identities, the little personalities who are thinking that they're Godhead. And when the small living being makes himself malleable to the will of the supreme being, then he's situated in transcendence. Even in this material world, iha yasya harir dasye karmana manasa gira nikalashbhapyavastasu jivan mumta sujita. A person who's always engaged in the service of Krishna with his body, mind, and words, even in the material world, is a liberated person. So the advancement in material consciousness means advancement in false ego. The Prabhupada points out here the advancement in material civilization. We have so many things, we have so many inventions, we have so many buildings and machines and things to show. So Prabhupada said it's simply your an expansion of your false ego. See how our false ego is expanded. The more you've got, the more puffed up you get, either individually or in a group or as a nation. So this is advancement in ignorance. Similarly, the expansion of intelligence and mental capabilities on the material platform is also an expansion of false ego. Expand your mind. Expand your false ego, that's all. And expand your intelligence. The great intellectuals are another form of expanded egotism. The great intellectual. Oh, he's so difficult because he knows more than everyone. He can see the mistakes in everything, the flaws in everything. He can quickly comprehend things. He has different ideas. He's read this, he's got a library with that. He's got 7 degrees after his name. So what has he done? He's expanded his false ego, that's all. Intelligence, in the form of the subtle manifestation of false ego. He's not like these fools who are simply accumulating things. He's accumulating books. He's accumulating knowledge. In the Upadeshamrita commentary, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur comments that those who are reading many books are also in the category of Niyamagraha. I'm sorry, of Atyahara. Collecting too much. Or overeating. They're overeating on the subtle platform, that's all. The fat man is overeating on the gross platform. And the rarefied intellectual is overeating on the intellectual platform. But it's the same thing. It's advancement in false ego. or the person who's building up his own senses, sharpening his senses, building up his senses. The joggers are expanding their false ego. So the whole material world looks good. Everyone is expanding his false ego. This is called maya. We build up our identity in terms of our things, our possessions, our bodies, or our intellectual capabilities. And all we're doing is expanding the realm of material advancement, which means illusory advancement or advancement in the wrong direction. Prabhupada comments that the false ego can be characterized in three ways. Shanta Ghoda Vimutta Tvam. Shanta means peaceful or serene. This is the characteristic of the ego in goodness. It's not agitated. Not agitated. Calm, peaceful, satisfied. These are some of the characteristics. Still, it's false ego. Because it's not, the characteristic is not enlivened by devotional service, always engaged in the glorification of Krishna. It's peaceful, satisfied, content, simple. These are the characteristics of false ego. You know, the peaceful living people who are detaching themselves from the gross materialistic civilization and living in the countryside in a little cabin are living in false ego in the mode of goodness. That's all. And Koda, Prabhupada translates here as active. It also means horrible. The mode of passion is characterized by activity and horror also. Radasastu palam dukkham. The result of activity in the mode of passion is suffering. It's suffering. So in the mode of passion we find all sorts of horrible activities. Prabhavanti yuga karmanaha kshayaya jagato hitaha. The demonic activity. Prabhavanti, it flourishes in terms of ugra karma, nasty activity. There's activity. They're not dull. Materialists are not in the mode of passion. They're not dull. They're accomplishing. They're conquering. They're advancing. But how? Ugra karma, in terms of nasty activities. In terms of nasty activities. Kshayaya jagato hita. By which the whole world is filled with destruction. That's their advancement. By their mode of passion, they simply create suffering for others, suffering for themselves. They're very proud how they can spend half their money on defense, which means aggression. How they've created new forms of horrible weaponry, more accurate, more powerful, longer range, new technology. But it's all about causing suffering for others. Prabhavanti ugra karma, karmana. How they can cause suffering for animals, suffering for the human beings, suffering all around, in the name of enjoyment. In the name of enjoyment. And vimutha means extremely dull. Extreme, V is particularly, vishesha. Vimutha-tvam, super dull. This is the mode of ignorance. So these three modes of material nature are spinning around. Sometimes passion is prominent and ignorance and goodness are less. Sometimes goodness is prominent, passion and ignorance are less. Sometimes ignorance is up and passion and goodness are down. So there's a competition, Krishna says, between these three modes. They're always coming in different proportions. But the sum total of it is that as soon as we come to false ego, we get implicated in this expansion of material entanglement. And then we're stuck in the material world. Therefore, the whole business is to get free from false ego. Srila Prabhupada is teaching 100,000 times, you're not this body, you're not this body. You're really not this body. And still we think we're this body. We want to understand advanced and esoteric topics, but this extremely esoteric topic we've not yet grasped. I'm still thinking I'm American, I'm Indian, I'm white, I'm black, I'm old, I'm young, I'm this, I'm that. I'm still thinking in terms of so many designations. Male, female. Yeah, that tends to be the... Everything else is after that. I'm a male American, I'm a female American. The male and female is on top there. Or we're thinking we're subtly identifying ourselves with the mind. We want to get in touch with our true self, known as our feelings. Get in touch with who I really am. This is called Maya. I'm thinking I'm the mind. I'm thinking I'm the sum total of my mental and emotional processes. It's Maya. So grossly, subtly, this power of Maya, Mama Maya Duratya, it's very, very strong. But Mama Vaye Prapajante Maya Me Tam Tarantite. When one surrenders to Krishna, then he crosses over Maya. Otherwise not. Not by any amount of pious activity, not by any amount of mental speculation, not by any amount of austerity or yoga practice. Mama Vaye Prapajante. When one surrenders to Krishna, then by the grace of Krishna, Maya Me Tam Tarantite. Therefore, Krishna says, Sarvadharman Prati. Just surrender to me. Otherwise, be stuck in Maya. Mrityu Sangsara Bhakti. Kartritvam Karanam Tvam Cha Karyatvam Cheti Lakshanam Shanta Gora Vimudha Tvam Iti Va Syad Ahankrite. Okay, what kind of questions do we have today? What comments?
Another way of classifying these three, Kartutam, Karanatvam, and Karyatvam, is Jnana Shakti, Kriya Shakti, and Drovya Shakti, the powers that create the controlling system, the Jnana Shakti, the demigods, also the mind, and then the instruments for doing things, and the Kriya Shakti, and then Drovya Shakti, the powers that create matter. Mm.
All this interconnectedness of the machinery of material nature is very interesting. Anything you want to get done, there has to be some... some knowledge or some idea. There has to be some power and some tools, some means of getting the thing done. And there has to be some stuff that you're manipulating. These three are interconnected. Also interconnected here are the senses and the sense objects and the demigods who are the controllers of the senses. Nothing just works independently. Everything works independently. Everything's under the complex control of Krishna. And we're messing with things and trying to defeat material nature. But material nature is strong. Material nature is complex. Material nature is empowered, backed up by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. What are we going to do? Again, we're just waving our arms while drowning in the ocean. What is that waving the arms going to do? The faster you wave them, the faster you run out of energy and go down. That's all. Some other, yes.
Maharaj, the way you express that it's so difficult to realize you are not this body makes, so that this is the basis, the first step of self-realization. And it seems like so difficult to realize that what you speak of the rest, it seems impossible.
Mm. Yeah, actually, you know, we speak of Vedic culture, but the details and refinement of Vedic culture is quite beyond us. We're given therefore it's requested in the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam by the sages at Naimisharanya. Please give us the essence, Prabhupada said, your shortcut method. Please give us your considered opinion about what the essence of all this is. Puri, Purini, Karmani, Shrotavyani, Sahasrasha, something like that. There's so many different kinds of rituals, there's so many different things to be heard, so many shastras, you know, there's 108 Upanishads, and there's four immense Vedas, and there's Puranas, and there's Itihasas, and there's this, and there's that. And there's so many different kinds of sacrifices, and so many different kinds of rituals, so many different mantras. Please give us your opinion about the essence of all this, because we're doing this sacrifice for 10,000 years, and the result is that our faces are getting very black from all the smoke. We're not getting anywhere. So please give us your considered opinion about the essence of everything. So we're given that essence in the form of Srimad Bhagavatam, Saram Saram Smud, the essence of the essence. And the essence of all practice is the chanting of the holy name of Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Enecho shoti maya nashi bravaki. Hani nam maha mantra lautami maki. This is actually the cure for false ego. This is the cure for false ego. Attentive or offenseless chanting of the holy name of Krishna is actually the cure. We have so many difficulties among ourselves and within ourselves on account of false ego. But all of these difficulties can be arrested and dissolved by the chanting of the holy name of Krishna. Therefore, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Kirtaniya Sada, always chant Hare Krishna. There's nothing that can't be accomplished by the chanting of the holy name. Every desired result can be achieved by the chanting of the holy name. Mm-hmm. Yes?
You were talking about false ego and modification, and that when you act in this mood, suffering is the result. So I was wondering, and you also said that when we make devotional service, then we are acting in transcendence. So I was wondering if you see, especially in Austria and Germany, we now have the problems that we have many gaps from the past, because many temples were bought, we cannot be...
Put it down, please.
Paid for anymore. So I'm wondering, is this when the devotees did this, they thought they were acting in transcendence? They did this for Krishna, but it seems that the result is such a
when devotees purchase temples, but it seems they're difficult to maintain, and therefore, is it that they thought they were acting in transcendence?
They thought they were acting in transcendence.
But was it false ego in the mode of passion? No, it's that at the present moment, we're in the false ego in the mode of ignorance. Temples are not very difficult to maintain. It's not that they're really so costly. But they don't mean, you know, while we're sitting and waiting for something to happen and lamenting that the bills are too high.
And nobody else is doing anything about it.
And why did these people in the mode of passion buy these temples anyway? It's not that they were in the mode of passion, it's that we're in the mode of ignorance. When we act in Krishna consciousness, Srila Prabhupada said there's no shortage of anything. No shortage of anything. You know, if we sit in the temples and wait for money to come, money has a way of not responding to mere invitations. You know, it wants to see that you're sincere and that you go out and say, please come. Or really, not even wants to see that, but from Krishna's point of view, he's prepared to spend any amount of money, but like any good businessman, he wants to get his money's worth. You know, if I'm paying these guys, they got to do something. If we're actively engaged in the service of Krishna, especially by preaching Krishna consciousness, money will fall from the sky. It's not that there's such a shortage of money. There's really lots of money.
I know this. My question is, these projects were also the cheapest thing in the it's okay if you buy this project, but I think somebody must have seen that the devotees are not in, you know, they are in the course, even like you expressed it now, so why did we buy this?
Why did we buy them? We bought them for the pleasure of Krishna and for the benefit of people who would come. That's not a bad idea. But then you know, ever see those cartoons where these guys are running and running and running and running and running and then they run off a cliff and then they run and they run and they run? And then they look down. They go, and then they fall. You know, as long as they're running, everything's fine. So the problem is not that those guys back there were running. The problem is that we've stopped running. I heard we had a psychological solution to our temple in Austria, which finished it off. There may be debts. There may be whatever. Prabhupada's solution to debts was not to say, oh, why is it so expensive? Prabhupada's solutions to debts were preaching. Prabhupada's solution was distributing literature. There was some incident that devotees in Toronto wrote to Srila Prabhupada that we've seen one very big church and we're thinking to get it for a temple and this is how much it costs and so on. Prabhupada wrote and said, why simply purchase anxiety? It's so expensive and you'll always be struggling. Why simply purchase anxiety? Then Prabhupada came to Toronto. And since he was there, the devotees thought, at least let's show the church. So they showed Prabhupada the church. Prabhupada said, you should buy it immediately. Devotees said, but Prabhupada will just be purchasing anxiety. You must be in anxiety! Excuse me? I don't believe that an excess of preaching burns out the devotees. I don't believe that an excess of preaching burns out the devotees. That may be, but it requires good leadership, good determination, good plans, and good enthusiasm. That's all. It's not that these things are undoable, are not able to be done, or that they're over endeavors, but it requires determination and single-minded activity. If that's there, everything expands. That may be. Even if you start something and it fails, still it's not a loss. In the material world, if you try something and it fails, it's a loss. And if you try something and it succeeds, it's also a loss. And in the spiritual world, if you try something and it succeeds, it's a success. And if you try something and it fails, it's still a success. So they should, it's not that they say, oh, I gave so much money and I gave it for nothing and these devotees were in the mode of passion. If we're on the spiritual platform, you haven't given your money for nothing. Even if you've lost money, that money has been spent for some good purpose. It's your benefit. What were you going to spend it for anyway? So don't repeat and repeat. It doesn't mean there's a law of spiritual life that we have to be stupid. It's not, you know, in the 19th chapter of Bhagavad Gita that we have to be foolish. So then don't. So don't make the same mistake again and again.
Make another mistake.
No, I understand. Whoever, if you have a strategy and you've done it, it hasn't worked, do try some other strategy. That may not work either. Try another strategy, somehow or other. But don't die. Well, we tried this, we tried that, we tried the other thing, we might as well go back to being, you know, to material life. That's useless. That's the thing we tried to begin with, and that was a failure. Better to fail at the right thing. And Prabhupada said that he was asked why he came to America. And he said, well, my godbrothers went to England. And I thought, well, if I'm going to fail, at least let me fail at a new place. Rupa Goswami says, utsaha, the most important thing is our enthusiasm. And then determination and confidence. And then doing the things that are necessary. It's not just enthusiasm. One time, Srila Prabhupada asked Giriraj Maharaj, how will this movement go on? And Giriraj Maharaj said, we have to be sincere, Srila Prabhupada. Prabhupada, sincere and intelligent. Both things. If we're insincere, that's the worst. But sincere and intelligent. So if someone else wasn't intelligent, all right, then we should be intelligent. Or if 10 someone else's weren't intelligent, all right, let's find some other. But not that, well, might as well give up on the whole thing. That's the worst. Okay, and don't let them give up either. Encourage them. Continue.
Sometimes we don't really know if our thoughts or feelings are coming from the false ego or the soul.
Sometimes we don't know whether our thoughts and feelings are coming from the false ego or the soul. A good rule of thumb is to assume that it's the false ego. But when our thoughts are in accordance with the statements of Sadhu, Guru, and Shastra, and our feelings are going in the same line, then we can take it that it's on the spiritual platform, coming from the spiritual energy. And when our thoughts and our feelings are something else, then it must be coming from the something else energy. Another question? Loud, please. It's not so good to do any introspection? To see our anarthas and things like this, yes, it's good. That's also good. It, chanting Hare Krishna means chanting Hare Krishna and avoiding 10 offenses. We should be attentive about this, that we should avoid these. If we don't act, we don't even have to look into, you know, what are my deep anarthas, what are my still deeper anarthas, where did they come from, when did they start, how did they arise, where was I when I got started on this whole decline. Actually, if we chant Hare Krishna and avoid 10 offenses, everything's accomplished. And you can analyze and analyze and analyze what's inside. And without offenseless chanting of Hare Krishna, it will go nowhere. I have a cousin who's a psychotherapist. And she has patients who've been patients for decades. You know, and they've been analyzing and analyzing and introspecting and asking themselves and trying to see things from a different angle. You know, it'll go on. You know, they'll be in the grave and they'll still be, how did I get here? Yes. Introspection means that we should try to see how I can be more Krishna conscious, what's stopping me. Not overcomplicated. You know, tearing up, analyzing and sub-analyzing and reanalyzing and ultra-analyzing and hyper-analyzing. Then somebody will say, you know, why couldn't she get anything else? She spent her whole life analyzing.
Analyzing your analyzing.
Yeah, analyzing your analysis.
Right? The next step.
Meta-analysis. So, it doesn't mean that we have to be dull, that we have to, that we shouldn't think, that we should be only concerned with externals, that we should simply pray, paint bright smiles on our face and not think about where we are or where we're going. But finally we have to do something. Finally we have to do something that will clear out these anarthas. The Hridyantaksto Yabhadrani Vituno Tisudrisata. By hearing, by chanting, by attentive service to the message of Bhagavatam and the persons who represent that message, wonderful things will happen. Wonderful things will happen. It's not, and by simply by analysis, nothing will actually happen. Or something will appear to happen, but not really happen. You know, like the whole material project, everybody's going round and round, and they think they're making progress this way, that way. But actually they're going around in circles chasing their tails. So without some, this is the mental speculative process. It's another feature of the mental, you know, internally, you can speculate about the world, you can speculate about what's inside. So speculation about what's inside may be useful up to a certain point. That's Jnana Marga. Who am I? Why am I suffering? Why are these miseries coming upon me? All these questions are there. But finally one has to get to the point of understanding who he is, what his, who Krishna is, what the relationship is, and act in that relationship. That activity will actually bring about the desired change. We want some change, finally. We want not only to know what's there, just disease. You know, it's useful to know what's there, but finally we want to know, okay, how do I get rid of it? Well, let us do another test. Let us do another investigation. Let us do, do you have anything to fix this? So that's what we're looking for. We'd like to get a diagnosis. Diagnosis is important. But it's not that diagnosis is cure. Diagnosis is only diagnosis. Then medicine is the cure. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is NHM showed him my energy. This is the medicine. Take this chanting, Hare Krishna, laugh to me. I'm giving it out. Take it. Let me think of it. No, take it. Yes. The ahankara vimutatma kartaha miti manyate. The prakritaya kriyamanani gunai karmani sarvaj. Krishna is finally the doer of everything because nothing does without Krishna. But by the energy of Krishna, Maya is doing. Maya is active. Maya is performing activities. Prakritaya kriyamanani. Everything is being enacted by the power of material energy. But ahankara vimutatma, people are so dull that by the influence of false ego, they think, karta, I am the doer. Then they're called the doer. They're not actually, just like the living entity, there's all these places where the living entity is called karta, the doer, purusha, the enjoyer. What enjoyer? He's a sufferer. And the enjoyer is Krishna. Govindamadi Purusha. But he's called, the living entity is called Purusha, when he thinks that he's Purusha. And he's coming on like he's Purusha. He's not actually Purusha. He's not actually an enjoyer. He's a poor, bewildered fool who's trying to be an enjoyer. Just like we say, oh, there's a real enjoyer over there. What enjoyer? He's a stupid karmi trying to satisfy his senses and suffering like a dog. But among ourselves we say, oh yeah, he's a real enjoyer. Is he an enjoyer? No. So these doers, are they really doers? No. They're little toys of the material energy. They've surrendered to the material energy. Prakritim mohinim shritaha. They've taken shelter of the bewildering potency of Maya, and Maya's playing games with them. Yes, be king, build a palace, conquer an empire, do this, do that. So they're doing, but actually they're being done. They think that they're doing, but actually it's being done to them. They're being dictated to by Maya. Do this, do this, do this, do this. And they think that they're the doer. They're not the doer. They're just blindly following the script. And by the power of illusion, this is the covering potency of Maya. By the covering potency of Maya, they think, yes, I'm the doer. Just like some little kid who's being pushed around in a It's one of those, some toy vehicle by the mother or father. And the child is pedaling or pushing or something. He thinks, I'm moving. He's not doing anything. The parent is doing the thing. You know, the parent is moving the little car right or left, but the kid is turning the wheel and thinking, I'm driving. He's not driving. He's a fool.
Cute though,
right. Time? Okay, thank you all very much. All glories to Shri Prabhupada.